Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It was 50 years ago tomorrow that more than 200,000 people gathered in front of the Lincoln Memorial on the Washington Mall to demand jobs and equal rights for Black Americans. One of the largest contingents was a group from Boston. WBUR's Dolores Handy has been speaking with people here who have been reflecting on the historic March on Washington and has this report.
This is a picture of the Boston contingent gathering after we got off the buses, and so that's me right there.
Melanie McNair is showing me a yellowed photograph from a Boston newspaper 50 years ago. In the background, a long line of buses. In the foreground of the photo, a large group walking behind a Boston NAACP banner being carried by two teenagers, with others walking behind them. McNair was just 16 years old. She made the trip with other members of her family, including her grandmother, legendary Boston community and civil rights activist Melnia Cass.
And this is my brother, Roger Freeman, who is now deceased. This gentleman right here is Lawrence Phillips, who is now Judge Lawrence Phillips. Some 4,000 Bay Staters made the trip, and local leaders.
Everybody.
Ken Guscott was president of the Boston branch of the NAACP in 1963, the group that arranged to get people from this area to Washington.
Our phones were ringing off the hook. People wanted to come from Vermont, from Maine, and everywhere. And it just swelled up. And then we couldn't rent any more buses. That was the thing about that. We couldn't get any more buses. And so some people came down on the train.
The group left from the South End after a rally attended by Governor Endicott Peabody.
We were charging people $26, and those who couldn't afford it, we took them anyway. And the thing about it was, the governor's wife got so excited, she jumped in the first bunch with Mrs. Cass and my mother and them and went to Washington with us. And she jumped in the bus and went down there with us. That showed you it was an integrated group we had.
The Boston group joined the long line of buses heading to Washington from all over the country.
I was 10 years old, living in Norwalk, Connecticut, with my parents.
Pam Cross is a longtime news anchor and reporter at WCVB-TV, Channel 5.
There was great discussion of how you presented yourself. The men were dressed in collared shirts. Some were wearing suits. The women were all dressed as if they were going to business or going to church. There was concern about whether there was going to be some violence. And so there was discussion before the trip, during the planning, about the whole method of nonviolence and what that means.
Another well-known Boston-area resident who made the trip is civil rights lawyer Harvey Silverglate. In 1963, he was a student at Princeton and a summer reporter for a New Jersey newspaper.
I learned that there were about 80 people going from Ridgewood, New Jersey. They had chartered two buses. I said to my editor, "This is a local story. They got 80 people from this area going down to Washington. I should go down with them and cover it." I had this sense that the whole problem of race in this country was at a historic moment, a kind of boiling point. There were enough people who were totally disgusted with things. There was somebody in the White House, Kennedy. His character was such that one had the sense that with the proper push, he would be an ally of the integration movement. And it turned out to be right.
The then 16-year-old Melanie Freeman, now Melanie McNair, was just one of the hundreds of thousands of people who came together in Washington that day.
It was awesome. The hard work that pulled that together, for us to come together peacefully, for that 250,000 people to listen and hear what was being said, and the vision for us, and the belief that it will be accomplished. There was no doubt in anyone's mind that this would come to be.
As a child, it seemed like we walked a very, very long way.
Again, reporter Pam Cross, who made the trip from Connecticut.
There were people coming from everywhere. Masses of people are coming off of different buses from different modes of transportation, all shuttling onto the same streets to follow the march. And I was struck by the diversity even as a child. I was pleasantly surprised to see such a diverse audience of people.
Still, Cross somehow managed to find her older sister who had made the trip on a bus from New York.
And it was miraculous. No cell phones, you know, no texting. Somehow we met up, and none of us were ever quite sure how that worked out. And it was just something very powerful about having family members as well coming from other places to be supportive and to lift their voice and say, yes, we want freedom, we want equality, and the time is now.
The former NAACP president, Ken Guscott, proudly remembers what a successful display of nonviolence the day was.
President Kennedy at the time was afraid that we're going to have riots in Washington. They had soldiers on every corner, but they were mostly black soldiers. And the black soldiers were so happy to see us. It was one of the most happiest days of my life on that march, because everybody was so peaceful, and all we were doing was singing, "We Shall Overcome," as we marched down the street.
We shall overcome.
Now, 50 years later, Melanie McNair looks back and says it's time to take another stand.
I would like to see them do it again today for the Trayvon Martin, for the Voting Rights Act, which now is in a pitiful state because they're basically redistricting, making it so that the Department of Justice, you know, doesn't have a say in those states that would keep us from voting. That's a little scary.
Pam Cross finds two ways of assessing what's been accomplished since the march.
I am astonished and grateful and surprised at how far we've come in terms of so many things, you know, employment, education, politics. The president is an African American.
At the same time, Cross says there's still a long way to go.
I'm dismayed by employment and the numbers of young people of color, African American, Latino, who are unemployed, and by education. The fact that so many of our youngsters are dropping out or just falling short of the mark. They're getting pushed out and still aren't able to handle a job or survive.
As the country commemorates the 50th anniversary of the march, these participants all say many of its goals remain unmet. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Dolores Handy.